Welcome to The Brains Behind It, the official podcast of BrainHackers.com. The source for smart strategies to improve your life, one brain hack at a time. In this podcast, we talk to the leaders and innovators behind great organizations and find out the secret to their success. Here's your host, editor-in-chief of BrainHackers.com, and two-time Guinness record holder for memory, Dave Farrow.
Hey there, Brain Hackers. Dave Farrow here. I'm talking today about breathing with Sasha Yakovleva. She is the founder of thebreathingcenter.com, and she's also a breathing specialist. When we come back. Hey, Sasha Yakovleva, how are you doing?
Hi, very nice to see you.
Hey, welcome to the show. So we're talking about breathing today, and I'm a big believer in how the body affects the brain and so forth. If we're trying to, you know, talk about, you know, brain hacks and improving the brain. But you've also been very successful, you know, with your book as well. So we could even get into, you know, what it's like to be an author and marketing your book as an expert. So tell us a little bit about how you got started and what the Breathing Center is all about. We'll start there.
Mm-hmm. So I do very, you know, what I do is very unusual because I teach people how to breathe less.
Breathe less,
that's correct. How to reduce their air consumption.
And why are we doing that?
Pardon?
Why do you teach people to do that? Is this a longevity thing?
Yes, it's health and longevity thing. So I mostly work with people who are seriously ill with various diseases, but especially breathing difficulties. And my clients are all over the world, so I work with them through Zoom or Skype, and I teach them how to change their lifestyle in order to support reduced breathing and how to do breathing exercises in order to breathe less.
Now this is really fascinating to me because I was really into it one time, the free diving. You're familiar with free diving? Yeah, where those people watching, free divers basically would hold their breath for a real long time. And I got into I actually practiced the technique and everything. It was so cool. But you take a really deep breath in, then you swallow air, like you, and you like, you hyper compress your lungs basically. And then you can go down underwater. And it's amazing. I could hold my breath for 2 minutes, which was amazingly longer than I could before the technique. So I understand the idea of breathing exercises for that. When you start talking about breathing less, it sounds really controversial on its surface because people think breath is life and you're telling them to breathe less. I assume this has something to do with oxidization. The less oxygen, the less your cells get oxidized and the less you age. Is that kind of your basic premise, or is it about relaxation?
No, it's actually quite opposite, but I agree with you that this method is counterintuitive in a way, you know, because normally people think that breathing more will give you more oxygen and will make you more energetic and feel better.
Yeah, there's oxygen bars and everything too, you know, for this very reason.
Yeah, but what I do is based on a long-term work of Russian medical doctors and scientists who discovered that no matter how much oxygen we inhale, the amount of oxygen which the body is able to utilize is determined by the level of carbon dioxide in the lungs. So basically, higher the level of carbon dioxide in the lungs, more oxygen the body is able to use. And the way to increase that level is by breathing less, not by breathing more.
So you're breathing less, but you get more oxygen because of
That's
it.
Right.
Because
That's right.
Because of chemistry. Okay, so...
That's right.
So this has to do with the permeable nature of your lungs and the lung walls and the transference when you fill up your lungs with air. Only a small percentage of that air is oxygen. There's a lot of carbon dioxide. There's also nitrogen and other chemistry. And your lungs only absorb a small percentage of that, especially if you're a smoker, it's even less. So your argument, now, is this controversial at all, or is this something that's well-established worldwide, or is this just in Russia people mm-hmm. just that yeah. the higher the carbon dioxide, the more you actually absorb oxygen. Mm-hmm. The principle behind that.
Yeah, well, your explanation is not quite correct.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter right now because, you know, to explain it, we will need to become really technical. But this method was invented by Dr. Buteyko, who was a medical doctor and had PhD as well. And he was kind of a brilliant and a legendary physiologist who was a head of a laboratory, worked with many fitness instructors and doctors and various scientists. So he made his discovery in 1959. And since then, this work continued. So his name is very well known in Russia, but also now all over the world. So if you type the word Buteyko in Google, you will probably see millions of websites. However, many people who know about this method or even teach this method are not really certified to do that. The method is very exciting because it's very powerful. It could change a person's condition quite fast. And the Breathing Center represents the Russian patent holders of this method.
Okay. So mm-hmm. you're certified in this particular method and there's other knockoffs, so to speak. And perhaps, is there controversy? Are there people saying that this method is foolish or not effective? Or is this pretty well established? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's both. You know, the method is very new in a way. I mean, it's like 60 years old, but it's still new. And it's very radical. So because of that, of course, and it's counterintuitive as well. Mm-hmm. So because of that, of course, there are plenty of people who are saying that it cannot be true. But also there are a lot of people who know about this method, apply this method, and thousands of people around the world who stop the symptoms of their diseases mm-hmm. by training themselves breathing differently, breathing less. For example, you know, my website, breathingcenter.com, contains hundreds of testimonials from people who sometimes were ill all their lives and came across this method at the age of 75 or so and were able to stop their disease.
Well, I really like the idea as a PR guy because I think it's a really interesting hook. You know, if you, now mind you, if you make scientific claims in the media, you have to have some sort of published paper and things like that, but you've got a whole institute and you do have, you know, decades of research that backs it up. But even though there may be, there's legitimate controversies within scientific communities, a lot of people don't realize that science is rarely, if ever, finds a consensus. And if they do, it's usually suspect. But so there's lots of times there's published studies and there's another scientist that completely trashes it. And that's called peer review. But I guess when I first heard of this, my first impression was it was like meditation because I did meditation for many years and they really teach deep breathing. Buddha said to breathe through your heels. That was kind of like the idea, is to breathe very deep. Your approach is not that, right? I mean, the idea of deep breathing is to fill your lungs with air, breathe it all out to get rid of all the carbon dioxide. And you say that's not a good thing.
No, it's not. Any genuine type of meditation is based on breathing reduction. Mm. If you do any type of a traditional meditation, you will notice that your breathing will become increasingly less noticeable, quieter.
That's true. And that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
And if you spend, you know, a relatively long time meditating, you will definitely experience moments when it feels like you're not breathing at all. Mm. Your breathing would stop periodically. And that's how a calm, tranquil state manifests through breathing. So what we do, we imitate actually breathing during meditation within, or breathing like we are meditating within 24 hours. So we breathe like we are trying our best to
like
breathe
all day throughout the day, and you train yourself to do this throughout the day.
Day and night, both.
You know, I mean, the old Zen monks would say that meditation is a 24-hour activity. You know, they would say you'd walk while meditating, keep a meditative state. It would go about. Now, I've actually experienced that, and I'm just so the viewers know, I didn't just like watch a tape on yoga. Like I was serious into meditation for about 10 years. I was at the Tibetan Center in Toronto, and I lived there, and I'd go there regularly to meditate with the monks. And you know, it's one of those things where you're the only white guy in a room. But I've had times where I'm meditating for a couple hours in a row. And you're right, there were a few moments where I took a breath in and it surprised me, you know, because it was like I hadn't breathed for a while because I was meditating so much on the verses, you know. Now most of the meditation, to be honest, was repeating verses. So you had to breathe if you're speaking. But there were times where it was like inside your head and then I'd take a breath, and it would surprise me and kind of pull me out of the meditation because the breath was like this rare thing that just popped in.
Let's talk about that a little bit because it's an interesting topic. You know, I'm a practitioner of Tibetan Buddhism as well, so I'm very familiar with what you are saying.
Yeah, actually, I think the Russians are influenced by Tibet because that's the border right there by Mongolia and everything. Like a lot of the tradition has flowed through. I've met a lot of Russians that follow Tibetan teachings, you know, which was fascinating. You know, when I was first introduced to it.
Well, I met a lot of Americans who will follow the teachings of Tibetan Buddhism, but it doesn't mean that this country is influenced.
Okay, well, it might not be that the border is closed, but it seemed that way. I don't know. I have a lot of Mongolian friends as well. There's actually the Mongolian team actually in memory competitions is very active, and they actually come to our competitions. So I've got a lot of friends in my feed there from Mongolia. It's an interesting thing to have friends on the opposite side of the world that you communicate with regularly. But you tell me your experience of how Tibetan meditation blends with this.
So in a Buddhist temple, people do a lot of chanting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you read traditional text, chanting is supposed to improve health, mm-hmm. but often it doesn't. Nowadays, it often even worsens health. So what happens? Why? It has an opposite effect. And it has this effect because breathing of modern people changed. So if you do breathing combined with basic healthy breathing, chanting always reduces air consumption and therefore increases the level of oxygen in the body, the level of overall oxygenation, and greatly improves health, greatly increases the level of energy. However, modern people, especially you know, in the Western countries, have a type of breathing which is very different compared how it was several hundreds years ago and in undeveloped countries. Comfort or the lifestyle based on comfort makes us breathe more, makes our breathing heavier. So if you combine chanting with heavy breathing, as most people do, if you do something like this,
I've seen that, and I found that the actual Tibetans were breathing very differently than, let's say, you know, if you were to go to like a yoga class that does breathing and everybody's white. And you're right, most of them are young urban professionals. They have a day job and they're westernized, and you could hear the breaths. That's true. And I couldn't hear the breaths of the monks. It was interesting.
Right. And what you said, it's very good because healthy breathing is always unnoticeable. It's quiet breathing. It's invisible breathing. Mm-hmm. If you can hear or see breathing of a person, it's not a healthy breathing then.
That makes sense. So as part of this, the effect that you get when you slow down too, just lowering your cortisol levels, your stress levels, things like that, that comes from breathing slower as well. Is part of the health benefit, like that's not just a side benefit, that's part of the process, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, a breathing class creates a sense of calmness and tranquility.
That's great. I have this tip that I want to run by you, because I go to college campuses in North America, and one of the biggest problems that I would say is on college campuses, and you can also say this is high school as well, is that people are testing lower than their aptitude. And here's what I mean. There are people who know the answer to a particular question. Let's say they're studying biology or physics or something, and they know the answer to a question. But when they're in the exam, they forget. And the number one reason they forget is because they get stressed out. They get nervous because they're in the exam, and that stresses themselves out. So cortisol is the stress hormone that's released. It's also an anti-inflammatory, which is important, you know, in the body, and that has other benefits. So it's not that cortisol is evil. It's just in this one context, what happens is essentially, without getting too much into the neuroscience of it, it makes it very difficult to recall memories when you're stressed out. There's a bunch of things going on. The best probably example I can give is that you don't have to be smart to fight or flight, right? So going back to our ancestors who were, you know, cavemen and women, if they were to see a predator and they were to react to that predator, the fact is you don't need math to react. It's actually, if you have all your higher brain functions and you're really intelligent, it actually might be a detriment. You need to run as fast as you can. All your oxygen needs to go to your muscles, and quite a bit comes away from your brain. You're actually temporarily dumber when you're fighting or running, because the oxygen, you know, the breathing change. You could probably say a bit about this. So here is my tip for people who are stressing out during exams. And I want to ask you if you think I should make any changes to this. I've often said that your breath is the one part of your body that is both subconscious and conscious. It's the autonomic and the automatic nervous system. So the reason why you breathe deeply and very, very quickly when you're stressed out is because that's the quickest way to get oxygen, speaking to what you were talking about, it's the quickest way to fill your lungs with oxygen so that you can run. So let's say I see a bear over there and I'm really scared. I go, you know, that sort of bringing the elbows up so your rib cage can expand. I mean, it's almost like every physiological activity is designed to bring as much air into here as possible and then run, right? So you go, and then your brain shuts off. All the higher functions shut off. Your amygdala hijacking sometimes is what it's called, where your lizard brain kind of takes over. And as many functions shut down, and you get more oxygen to your muscles, to your legs, so you can run or fight or something like that. So when people start to hyperventilate, this mechanism of stress response goes on overdrive. It's like, right? And they're hyperventilating. They're really temporarily dumb. Their brain has been hijacked in that moment, and they lose their memory. So as a memory expert, what I tell people is take control of your breath first and breathe slower. Breathe a slow, deep breath at least 3 times, and you'll find that whatever you are forgetting, you bring back. And I've always been telling people also that you're probably stress breathing most of the time. So when you're in that exam, you're at least, it's safe to say, you're not as relaxed as you were when you were studying earlier on. So if you remembered it the night before, you remember the answer to that question the night before, and right now you're stressed out, take a few deep breaths, relax, and the answer usually pops in your head. And I found this can account, I'm just kind of guessing here, but I think it's at least 20% of most people's marks can be improved, especially the people at the bottom of the scale could do dramatically better. But I'd say overall 20% of marks can be contributed, or test scores, I should say, can be contributed to just nervousness and forgetting in the moment. They pass the test in and they remember afterwards. So how accurate was I on that? Because you're talking about when you lower your breathing, you get more oxygen. So how does that, you know, come into the whole, you know, reaction?
Well, let me explain first how breathing affects the brain functions and oxygen in the brain. So when we breathe a lot, the level of carbon dioxide is low in the lungs, and for most people in the blood as well. And therefore, the body is not able to utilize all oxygen it receives. So a brain is included in this. Most people who breathe in a heavy way, overbreathe, basically hyperventilate, experience oxygen starvation. and therefore their memory is very poor. And I often work with people like that.
That's interesting, actually. Yeah, because people who hyperventilate, they get lightheaded, which would be the opposite of what you'd expect.
That's right. Often I work with children who have other problems, but also their learning abilities are very poor. And after they change their automatic breathing patterns, their learning abilities improve incredibly. And usually the first people who notice it are their teachers.
Yeah.
So by breathing less, by keeping a high level of carbon dioxide in our lungs, we're actually able to improve, you know, the way how our brain works, including memory. I can say that, you know, all my life, my memory wasn't good at all. I remember struggling with it as a child and as a student. And now I'm 53 years old now, but my memory is much better than it used to be all my life. So that's the part about brain and oxygen and breathing. Now, the part about stress is really interesting. When we are stressed, the body actually forces us to start breathing through the mouth and breathe excessively. Because when we breathe this way, and I call it stress breathing, the body perceives it as a war type of situation. Because before, you know, as you said, it was always fight or flight situation. So it was actually a life-threatening situation. And a person needed to move very fast, whether, you know, to run away or to fight. You know, an intense physical activity was required. So at that moment, the body makes all its resources, all vitamins, minerals, you know, nutrients, everything available, because the body wants to survive. And everything else could be, you know, dealt with later.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is one moment which is really important. When we fight or when we run, the body starts generating a lot of carbon dioxide on the cellular level. So we lose a lot of carbon dioxide by breathing excessively, like, right? But at the same time, you know, the level of carbon dioxide in the lungs does not go down significantly and maybe even go up, because from moving actively, the body generates carbon dioxide. So now let's look at the situation of a student during the exam.
So
it's stressful.
So in the cellular level, you get a lot of carbon dioxide, and that also builds up a lot of acids, and that's where you get the burning sensation in some of your muscles when your muscles are about to fail, right?
No, I don't think so. It's just a product of metabolism. So we could build up the level of carbon dioxide up to the medical norm.
I was told it was related. But let's talk about the studying. So students studying, they're having a stress response, yet they're not running.
That's exactly right. So that creates a huge problem, because by breathing like they're running, they're losing a lot of carbon dioxide, but because they're sitting and not running, they're not building any. So that greatly decreases the level of oxygenation in the body. And that's why the brain is not able to function.
Mm.
It also could trigger all kind of other symptoms. For example, if a student has a weak nervous system, most likely he will have anxiety or a panic attack in this case. If a person has, you know, a problem with blood pressure, he will experience, you know, high blood pressure or something like that. So it could be a variety of problem manifesting as a result of this type of breathing and not moving.
Mm.
So the best advice to a student in this situation is start breathing like nothing is happening.
Breathe
start
like,
breathing
like there before, yeah.
start breathing like you're sitting somewhere, you know, outside, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and there is nothing to do. You have plenty of time, nothing to prove, nothing to gain. And breathe in an invisible way. Actually, Dr. Buteyko called it breathing like a little mouse. Because if you look at the mouse, you know, you can't really see whether it's breathing or not.
Yeah, yeah.
There is nothing which indicates it. So this type of breathing is the healthiest. You just slowly breathe through your nose, not through your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And your body should not move because of breathing. So it's not like... It's not like...
Well, actually, yeah, I wanted to ask you. I talk a lot about the difference between chest breathing and stomach breathing. So the chest breathing, because you go, that's the quickest way to get oxygen, that's also associated to danger. Stomach breathing, where you don't move your chest, that's more like what children do, you know, where they breathe through their stomach and the stomach goes in and out like a balloon. So that tends to be the difference, but I hadn't actually heard the oxygen side of it. That's absolutely fascinating. I knew the hormonal side and how, you know, cortisol affects the brain and things like that, but you've given it a whole new level where they're doing all the things they should be doing while they're running, yet they're not running. So their body's getting ready to run and it's not, and then it's building up all this oxygen. That's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So healthy breathing is diaphragmatic breathing. Mm-hmm. It is through the abdominal area. However, it doesn't mean that the abdominal area needs to move, you know, actively. Yep. It should move just a little bit, kind of in an invisible way, and that's it.
Be invisible. Don't stand out. It's very Russian of you. I like that. All right, so let's move on a little bit into how you market this. Like, so you've got this idea. Some people might think it's controversial, at least on its surface, when they first encounter it. How do you move from that to actually, you know, selling your time and consulting with people and teaching them? You know, I can understand, you know, here's a book to find out more, but I mean, you know, one of the interesting things is that, you know, a lot of people might hear this and go, well, first of all, it seems weird, so no. But then when they say, okay, it sounds interesting, but maybe I think I could do it myself and I don't need you. How do you actually market? How do you find the clients that are in that in-between phase who are like, yes, this is a problem, and yes, I do need your help?
Mm-hmm. Well, 10 years ago, when no one knew about this method, it was an issue, and I had to find my ways to present this method and convince people often that it works.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's not an issue for me anymore, maybe because there are so many testimonials on our website.
Yeah, right now, a lot. That's one of the reasons why people get PR with us and others is to have a third party validation. You have, you know, the media and publicity and other people and product reviews and stuff talking about your products. That makes a big difference. Did you ever get publicity? Did you ever get exposure that way?
Absolutely. There are a lot of articles on our website about my work. The most important one perhaps was the New York Times article, and it actually became one of the most popular, most emails articles of the New York Times, and it stayed that way for 3 months.
Wow.
So that brought thousands and thousands of people all over the world to our website.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time it was I think it was 8 years ago.
What was the book on that? Was it like breathe slower and get more oxygen, like kind of a controversial statement? What was the hook on that article?
The article was specifically about people who suffer from asthma. It was written by Jane Brody, the medical science correspondent of the New York Times.
Yeah.
And I think it was her first article about an alternative method of healing, because normally she writes only about, you know, conventional treatments. This method is non-medical. I'm not a doctor.
Mm.
However, it's based on medical and scientific work. So it has a very strong scientific and medical base. and also it's based on clinical work of many years.
That's great. That's excellent. I think that's absolutely fascinating. Is there anything further that you want to tell people, maybe how to get a hold of you?
Well, I could be found by contacting me through email, through our website, breathingcenter.com.
Yeah.
But what I really want to tell people is, please be very mindful about your breathing, because there is no health without healthy breathing. It's impossible to be healthy if a person doesn't breathe healthy. And the most important thing is to breathe through the nose, not through the mouth all the time, and breathe as quietly, as gently as possible.
All right. Well, I think that's really good advice, because even I did not know a lot of the oxygen side of things and how the carbon dioxide leaves more oxygen, but I did look it up a bit. It is based on some good science. I will say that. But even aside from that, the hormonal aspect, the stress response aspect in the brain, all sorts of other things in neuroscience really back up this sort of slow down your breathing, and you get all sorts of health benefits that are well beyond what people would think. You know, people like insulin levels improving and all sorts of things that you would think have absolutely nothing to do with your breathing. But there's not anything in the body that doesn't have anything to do with breathing. It's the core for everything.
That's
so
right.
Thank you very much for being on the show. You're definitely the brains behind the breathing today.
I want to say something else, and we'll see how your brain will react to it.
All right.
Breathe through your mouth as often as you eat through your nose.
All right. I like that. So very purist.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's very nice to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much, Sasha, for being on the show. You take care.
Thank you for listening to The Brains Behind It. And remember to check out brainhackers.com for more. If you have a suggestion for the next interview or comment, please email editor@brainhackers.com. If you want a free 30-minute marketing consultation from Dave Farrow and his team, then email editor@brainhackers.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.